Shamati, Article Number 20, The Matter of Her Name. This part we read yesterday. For her name. In order for a person attain for her name, he needs an awakening from below, because that is an illumination from above, and it is not within human mind to understand, but he who tastes, he knows. And about that it is said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And because of that, a person needs, while accepting the burden of the kingdom of heaven, to be in utter completeness, meaning completely to bestow and not at all to receive. And if a person sees that his organs do not agree with that opinion, he has no other advice but prayer, to speak his heart to the Lord to help him make his body agree to enslave itself to the Creator. And do not say, if for her name is a gift from above, then what good is his overcoming and his effort and all the remedies and corrections that he performs in order to come to for her name. If it depends on the Lord, and about that our sages said, you are not free to be rid of it. But a person must give the awakening from below, and that is the prayer. But it is impossible for a prayer to be honest if he doesn't know in advance that without prayer it cannot be attained. Therefore, by the acts and the remedies that he performs in order to attain for her name, he builds the corrected vessels to want to receive the for her name, and then, after all the actions and the remedies, then he can give an honest prayer, because he has seen that all his actions did not help him in any way. And only then can he give an honest prayer from the bottom of his heart. And then the Creator hears his prayer and gives him the present of for her name. Now this is the part that we haven't read yet. And we should also know that by attaining the for her name, he kills the evil inclination, because the evil inclination is called receiving for himself. And by attaining bestowal, he nullifies his own benefit. And the matter of death means that he does not use his vessels of reception anymore for himself. And because he has cancelled his function, he is regarded as dead. And if a person calculates to himself, what does he have in his work under the sun, then he sees that it is not so difficult to enslave himself to his name for two reasons. The first, anyhow, whether he likes it or not, he must make an effort in this world. And the second, that when he works, if he works for her name, he receives pleasure from the work itself. As the Magid from Duvna says about the verse, thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, neither hast thou wearied thyself about me, O Israel. Meaning that he who works for the Creator has no effort, but on the contrary, he has pleasure and high spirits. But he who does not work for the Creator, but for other purposes, cannot come complaining to the Creator. Why does he not give him livelihood in the work, since he works for another cause? That only the one he works for, that he can only come complaining to the one he works for to give him livelihood and pleasure from his work. And about him it is said, like them will be their makers, anyone that trusts them. And one should not wonder about that, why when a person takes upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, meaning that he wants to work in order to bestow to the Creator, still he cannot feel any livelihood. that livelihood will necessitate their reception of the burden of the kingdom of heaven, but he should take it upon himself against himself, meaning that the body does not agree with that slavery. Why doesn't the Creator give him that livelihood and pleasure then? The reason is that this is a great correction. That if it were not for that, the will to receive would have agreed with that work, and he would never have the possibility of attending for her name, but he would always work because of his own benefit, meaning to satisfy his own desire. And it is like what they said, that the thief himself cries, "Catch the thief." Then you cannot tell which is the real thief in order to catch him and take the theft away from him. But when the thief, meaning the will to receive, does not feel any taste in the work of taking upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, then, because the body accustoms itself to work against his own desire, then he has the means by which he can come to the work to be only for the purpose of bringing contentment to his Maker, because all his aim should be only for the Creator. As it says, "Then you will rejoice with God," meaning before, when he worked for the Lord, he did not have pleasure from his work, but his work was by coercion. Whereas when he has already accustomed himself to work in order to bestow, then he is endowed with delighting in the work of God itself. Then he has livelihood and pleasure, and that is called that the pleasure at that time will be for the Creator. Okay, now that was long, so I'll now go back and read and explain. I'm reading from the second part, the one we started today. We should also know that by attaining the for her name, he kills the evil inclination. Because the evil inclination is called receiving for himself, and by being endowed with bestowal, he nullifies, he cancels his own benefit, and the matter of death means that he no longer uses his own vessels of reception for himself, and because he cancelled his function, he is considered dead. What is dead in spirituality? Death in spirituality is detachment from the Creator. The Creator is a light, a sensation, pleasure, or the opposite of pleasure, pain. Some kind of sensation that we get from outside. We feel it as pleasure or pain, depending on the situation of our vessels. If they're corrected, we feel it as pleasure. If they're corrupted, we feel it as pain. When one does not work with a vessel, either because that vessel is in oppositeness of form from the Creator and is thus disconnected from it, from the Creator, or because he is restricted working with that vessel, then that vessel does not feel the light. Not feeling the light in any way, good or bad, is called death. It is not a permanent situation. In spirituality, the only permanent situation is the end of correction, where everything is only alive. There is no death anymore. There's a verse, and death was to be swallowed forever. But during the time of corrections, we need death because it is a momentarily phase that is right now the best way we can work with a certain vessel. In other words, the best way for us to work with a certain vessel right now is to kill it. In other words, completely detach it from the Creator. Why? because no contact with the Creator is better than receiving in order to receive. We call it in spirituality, my death is better than my life. I'd rather die than live like that. In other words, in order to receive. So he does not use his vessels of reception anymore because he cannot use them but for himself. So he cancels that function and is therefore considered temporarily dead. Okay, question. When the creature was created through the will to receive, this gave it independence. I don't know, we'll see. Now, when we restrict the will to receive for ourselves, this leads to independence also. Why? Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying this. The creature was first created. In other words, there was a will to receive. And you're saying this gave it independence. Now you're saying, okay, we have independence already, but now you're saying that when we restrict the will to receive for ourselves, this leads to independence also. Why? The problem is with your question. Because you have, look at what you wrote. When the creature was created through the will to receive, this gave it independence. No, it just gave it a will to receive. Now, when we restrict the will to receive for ourselves, this leads also to independence. Why? Because only the second time we work for ourselves. The first time we work by nature. A lion works in order to receive, right? He kills the zebra. The zebra receives also. She kills plants. Or it kills plants. Plants kill the earth. And we kill everybody else. The only difference between man and all other animals is that man takes pleasure in that, while other animals do it because it's their nature. They cannot do anything else. Man takes pleasure in that. He hunts even when he doesn't need it. You will never see an animal doing it. The thought will not cross her mind. That's why zebras can walk next to a saturated lion, not fearing that it will suddenly hunt them down. So the difference is that we were given not only the desire to receive, but the aim to receive, and only the aim is to be corrected. Because only in the aim can we actually feel the pleasures. Because the pleasure is not in the actual acceptance, actual reception. The aim is in our becoming adults, grown-ups. And that leads to independence, only that. The correction of the aim from for ourselves to for the Creator. From being little children to becoming parents. Question. Will the Creator punish the thief? Or is it up to us to point out the thief or kill the thief on our own? My only answer to that is, read, there is none else beside him. Question. Isn't that suppression to not use the vessels of reception? Well, if this were a psychology course, I'd say yes. But this isn't. In Kabbalah, if you're not aware of something, if you suppress it, then this is not Kabbalah. Actually, the human mind is very simple. If I see pleasure in something, I want it. If not, I don't. It's very simple. I want more pleasure and less pain. That's the only calculation that exists. We don't even know what the vessels of reception are, because we can only know something when we have the opposite. And we don't have any opposite. We have no vessels of bestowal. We don't know what bestowal means. We don't know the Creator. We don't know what the attribute of bestowal means, how it manifests itself, how it feels. We don't know anything. We cannot suppress anything because we don't know anything about ourselves. So this whole level of psychology is irrelevant. It is good for animals, for beasts. That's why we have dog psychiatrists. When you begin to feel the Creator, His attributes, His attributes, and you feel them vis-a-vis your own attributes, then you can begin to compare yourself with Him. And then you see how you are working with each desire, desire being a vessel, and then you can see which desire you can work with and which you cannot. On the desires that you cannot work with, you, in order to bestow, of course, you should ask for strength from the only one who can give you that strength to help you not use it. Not ignore it, not forget about it. It is constant work, constant awareness. It is hard work. You're always aware of it because that question of whether or not to use it arises anew in each degree. You go back through all the desires and you see, maybe now I can use it, maybe now I can use it, maybe now I can use it this way or that way. Before I use it this way, maybe now I can use it another way. You cannot do it if you suppress anything. You cannot attain spirituality, actually, if you suppress anything. So it is quite the opposite. It is constant, total awareness. But it is also awareness of your own limitations, that you cannot work with something. Question, am I to understand that we do not choose awakening? We are chosen to be awakened. We don't choose our reshimot. They choose us. So far, yes. We are here listening to you not because we choose to, but because we were chosen. Yes. So, question. When we restrict our will to receive, let's just make a point clear here. We do not do anything, including the restriction. We ask for the strength to perform the restriction. When we are given the strength, actually doing it is easy already. So now, when we restrict our will to receive, we are doing the same thing as His creation, but in the opposite direction. Let me see if I understand what you're asking. Kind of, yes. Actually, it is called Nitzchuni Banai. My sons defeated me. The Creator wants to lose to us. It's just like a father proud of his child beating him at basketball. We, in order to attain equivalence of form, we have to be able to perform the same actions. And we have to have the awareness, the maturity to do it. That is why we become like the Creator. We do exactly as He does, but in the opposite direction, exactly. Instead of Him putting the screen which hides Him from us, we put the screen up there. And when we do it, He doesn't need the screen anymore, and He removes it. Because we have become as strong as Him to a certain degree. It's called a certain world. And when we go past all the worlds, He doesn't hide Himself at all anymore. More questions? Okay. Now, I'm reading on. If a person calculates to himself what he has in his work under the sun, then he sees that it is not so hard to enslave himself for His name, for two reasons. The first, anyhow, whether he likes it or not, he must make an effort in this world. In other words, we work anyhow, and we work hard, so why not work for something worthy? And B, during the work, if he works for her name, he takes pleasure from the work itself. That's what we learn, right? That the work itself is a reward. Meaning that he who works for the Creator has no effort, but on the contrary, he has pleasure and high spirits. And he who does not work for the Creator, but for other causes, cannot come complaining to the Creator, why doesn't He give me livelihood in the work? Meaning that he works for another cause. That he can only claim the livelihood from the one he works for. The only problem is that we do not see the benefit, the reward that we get. Sure, we get it immediately as we work, but we do not see it, we cannot feel it. Why? Because if we did feel it, then we would be doing it in order to receive, because it would be simply worth it to work like that. So we would become servants to the Creator, but we would do it because it would be fun. Because we are built in such a way that the sensation of the Creator is felt in us as pleasure. It's a sensation of the light. So if we could feel the light, we wouldn't have problems working in order to feel more light. But that would never make us independent. That would never make us work in order to bestow. We would remain working in order to receive, and that's the problem. So the reason that the Creator does not let us see that we are being rewarded immediately is a correction that allows us to grow, to choose work in order to bestow. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to choose it. Yes, he says here, the reason is that this is a great correction, that otherwise the will to receive would agree with that work, and he would never have the possibility of attaining for her name, but he would always work for his own benefit, meaning to satisfy his own desire. And it is, as they said, that the thief himself cries, "Catch the thief," and you cannot tell which is the real thief in order to catch him and take the theft, in other words, the light, out of his hands. But when the thief, being the will to receive, doesn't feel pleasure in the work, then when the body accustoms itself, in other words, when a person attains the ability to work against his desire, then he has the means by which to come to work, which will be only for the purpose of bringing contentment to the Maker. And it turns out that we work. Working for her name means that we work not for the pleasure, but to bestow to the Creator. Now, we do receive the pleasure, but when do we receive the pleasure? Only when we can use it in the right way. And which is the right way? It is that when we feel the pleasure, it is a testimony that we have attained equivalence of form. We do not relate to it as a reward, but as a confirmation that we are working right. It is like the Creator saying, yes, you're doing this right. Here's the proof. And the proof is the sensation of the light. It is called the testimony of the Creator. Questions? If there aren't any more questions, then that will be the end of our lesson for today. Oh, question. How do we know this is not just adrenaline in our brains and we create the illusion? What is adrenaline? You mean the energy to work? In Kabbalah, to study, to work in order to try and attain in order to bestow, to work on circulation in the group, all that? Yes, but a high from what? A high from the greatness of the goal? From the fun of being, yes, I know what a high means. A burst of energy from what? What gives you the energy? What are you asking? What gives you the illusion? Let me ask you this, Tommy. If someone, let's say you do something for someone, and that someone doesn't understand that you were trying to do him a favor, and he reacts negatively, and you're hurt, what adrenaline in the world would give you the strength to keep on being nice and give to that person? Can you tell me? Your ego will not allow you to speak to that man, let alone do anything good for him. If Debbie needed your help, and you did something for her, and she would think to herself, okay, she does it because it's the way, and she wants to become a Kabbalist, so I don't need to thank her. And she would not thank you for this. Not publicly, not personally. She should do it publicly, by the way. But she wouldn't even thank you personally. Would you still be able to do something for her the next time? You would be able to help her the next time? You would. Uh-huh. Okay. And the time after that, when she still doesn't thank you? And let's say she needs your help every day. And she doesn't say thank you even once. You would hate her, but help anyway. You need to work in a group. You don't know your own weaknesses. It's a shame. Gregory is saying, you'll help her anyway just to feel yourself a kind of hero. Yes, but that will not last very long either.